everyone. Welcome to today's episode. Thank you for joining us because today we are tackling an actual housing market issue and we are going to try to work on finding some solutions. What is the issue? The issue is that we are finding more and more Oklahoma local buyers are being outbid by out-of-state buyers for housing. And the issues that we run into with that are just simply that our local Oklahomans, our neighbors, our friends are missing out on getting into homes because out-of-state buyers are overbidding or outbidding them, not necessarily overbidding in our market. So what we are seeing is we have young families who are wanting to either purchase their first home or maybe do a slight move up from their first home to more of their, you know, family home. A young couple now needs a 3-bed, 2-bath. And people from out of state are coming in and making offers that are going over the top. And then the young couples are not able to purchase. And it is becoming a real problem because it's changing kind of the landscape of our neighborhoods and our communities. Let's talk about the positives of it. One of the positives is that if you are a seller in our market, that's great. You're getting a little bit more for the home. It is always a good thing, right, to get more money for your home. But the downside is that sometimes our local community individuals are having to decide whether or not they can actually stay here and purchase or if they need to move to a more rural setting or a more rural area so that they can afford to purchase a home. Some things that we can help you with if you are a local buyer and you want to try to get your offer in front of a seller so that they will actually consider it. One of the things that you want to think about is using a local realtor who knows the market, and sometimes there are off-market homes that an out-of-state buyer would have no way of knowing about. Why would we have an off-market home? Believe it or not, sometimes sellers do not want a sign in their yard because maybe they have not told everyone in their family. Maybe they have not given notice at work. Maybe, we've even had a few spouses that were not in agreement, but, you know, they had told me we would sell if the right opportunity came up. So working with a local realtor who actually knows the market could possibly get you into a home where you would not be competing with someone from out of state. The second thing that you would want to do is to utilize a local lender. Now, why would that make a difference? As a predominant listing agent, when I receive multiple offers on a home and I present them to the seller, my job is to present them in the correct way so that the seller has a clear picture of each individual offer. It's not just this client offered this and wants to close on this day. It's fully encompassing the offer so that the seller can understand. For example, if a young first-time buyer was utilizing a local lender in our market and had walked in, handed them their documents, gotten a pre-approval letter, the letter states that all of these items have been reviewed and that the buyer can move forward, as opposed to an out-of-state buyer who has clicked on a button online and the pre-approval letter says, based upon what you've told us, we are approving you for this amount of money. In my mind, the local first-time buyer would be a stronger, more realistic or just definitely going to be able to get them to the table for sure compared to an out-of-state buyer who used a lender that is not local. Now, could both of those end up being excellent buyers? Absolutely. And as a seller, there's some things that you could do to kind of push back to that out-of-state. But that's not what we're talking about today. Today, we're talking about local buyers and putting your best foot forward. So using a local realtor, using a local lender, and making sure that you really do have a true pre-approval. And again, the difference with that is, has the lender asked you for documentation and has the lender approved the documentation? Now, buyers, this is not just for the seller's sake, this is for your sake too. You do not want to be in a position where you have taken your spouse and maybe even your children and your parents to look at this home because you've got it in contract and everyone's super excited. And then the lender asks for your tax returns and you all realize that there had been some kind of an error and you don't actually qualify for the home. That's just completely heartbreaking for all parties. So let's make sure that you're truly a pre-approved buyer. And again, that will give you a better shot at getting the home as opposed to somebody from out of market. The next thing that you would want to do as a buyer to help overcome an out-of-state buyer's offer is to actually make sure that you do what's called a clean offer. Sometimes when it's someone local, you come in with the idea of, oh, I love that sofa. Oh, I'm going to ask them to leave the bar stools. Oh, I'm going to want the wood stove that's in the shop building. Now, the wood stove in the shop building makes sense. The other items, not so much. And here's why. When you go through and you ask for a lot of personal items, it does skew your offer. Most of the time, what I see is the buyer is actually just expecting the seller to just throw those things in. And if there is another offer on the table, it definitely affects your offer. So be very cautious about asking the seller to put personal items in. The other part of that is if you think, no, I'm willing to pay extra for those items, then that can be an issue with your lender. Why? Because the lender does not want you financing the sofa for 30 years. If you truly, absolutely have to have the sofa, make a cash offer outside of the contract and see if you can work it out. And be prepared for the listing agent who's savvy to ask you to pay for that through a cashier's check prior to the moving truck coming. And the reason that's important is we as realtors would hold that cashier's check so that when the seller packs up and moves, if they accidentally take the sofa, no harm, no foul, we give you back your cashier's check. But if they leave the sofa, and then you choose not to purchase it, then the seller is in a pickle because they would have to pay someone an additional fee to go back to the house and get the sofa. So that's why a cashier's check. But I digress. Just don't do it. I think that's a cleaner offer, especially if you're in competition. Now, I know this seems like, well, wait, we don't want either. Your thoughts are we don't have any homes on the market, so there is no inventory, or two, no one is actually buying homes. Neither of those statements are actually true. We're about to go into a spring where we feel the market is going to be at least 11% more inventory than what we had last spring. And believe it or not, guys, we sell homes regardless of what interest rates are. But the flip side of that coin, the third thing that buyers are thinking is that the interest rates are still too high. We are consistently seeing interest rates come through locked in with buyers in the 6.2 all the way down to 5.85. Now, can you actually get lower? Yes, you can if you do a buy down, and that could be something that you could negotiate with the seller if you don't need your closing costs covered and your buyer's real estate fee covered. So these are some ideas that can help you as a buyer overcome always losing out to an out-of-state buyer. Now, as I'm going to turn the table just a little bit and talk to sellers. Sellers, you do want to be cautious that you think that an out-of-state buyer who is willing to pay more is always the better option. It's kind of the opposite of what I'm saying here because it's not. You can see how you could go with an out-of-state buyer who's offering maybe, you know, $2,000 more on your home and not asking for any personal items, but then later to find out that they're not actually pre-approved because their pre-approval letter was just simply an auto-generated pre-approval from a phone conversation. So you want to be really cautious and make sure that you dig in and verify all of the information. And that's across the board. That's whether they're a local buyer or whether they're an out-of-state buyer. Doesn't matter. Make sure that you're working with a realtor that is knowledgeable, whether it's your buyer's agent or if you're a seller, your listing agent. Either way, it can go incredibly smooth. But in every transaction, we find that there are hiccups. And just the more qualified or the more experience that your realtor has, it will help you get through those speed bumps. Now, I'm going to toss this out and we're going to see what my marketing manager thinks. But I think my new slogan for this next year could be, she's waiting for this, the more wrinkles on the face mean the less wrinkles in your deal. Okay, I don't think she likes it. No, but I do have 21 years of experience. And unfortunately, that just means that I've experienced some really crazy things happening with files. Does that mean that we can absolutely avoid all of those in the future? No, it does not. Every transaction is going to be different. But from the 21 years of experience, I can help you by actually kind of foreseeing what could go wrong based upon previous files and helping you potentially, you know, skip all of the hard stuff or at least help you with solutions when the hard items come up. So, again, we just want to kind of empower our local buyers to come in and feel like they have a fighting chance to purchase these homes. But having said that, we're also a very inclusive community because we do have we're almost like a melting pot because of the college. And so we really do enjoy having people move in from out of our market. But this was a question. We had someone asking, how does a buyer overcome that? And those are our ideas. So thank you for the question. And as always, please like, follow, and share. And if you have a topic you would like for us to touch on, please don't hesitate. We will consider it.